Technorama episode 494, Technorama Office Christmas Party.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Say, where do you think Santa's gonna dump my pile of Christmas presents this year?
Over there, in the media corner.
On top of last year's garbage.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you are new to Technorama, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the Christmas party. You picked a great time of year to join. If you are returning, welcome back. This probably sounds a lot like last year's Christmas party. Same fruitcake.
Yeah. Here, it's your turn to have it.
I am Chuck Tomasi. Joining me in the Binary Studio, or across the Binary Studio, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great, man. I'm actually high on Christmas spirit.
More eggnog for that man.
Hey, it's hard to smoke, but it's good.
And also joining me in the former Draco Vista Studio, not Binary Studio, is the former owner of the Draco Vista Studios.
I'm just here for the alcohol. I really don't socialize with any of you people. So yeah,
he actually never left.
These office parties are so horrible.
Where are the chicks? Someone's been photocopying their butt again.
Yeah.
We're not going to say who.
Nanu.
You know what Marv is doing over there.
Careful, we have a listener named Marv.
You know who you are and you know what you're doing.
You've been very naughty this year.
We have some listener feedback. Not that one, that one.
Yeah.
The quality may be reduced.
Letters. Oh, letters. We get your letters every day.
Lowercase.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Whoa. Just the letters.
Those gothic letters.
Let's find out what you got to say.
Your quality may vary.
Near letter quality. Oh, wow. There's a dot matrix term we haven't heard in a while. This is near letter quality episode. We should just retitle this one.
I like that.
We are having a lot of fun. Our feedback this week is from our faithful and longtime listener and contributor, Nick St. Gabriel. He says, "Hi, Chuck. I recently got the books for the Patreon members and set them aside since I was going, quote, into the office soon. For most people, going into the office means driving across town or something. But for me, I live in Florida on the Space Coast.
Space Coast.
Space Coast to Coast.
Space Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast. And my office is in Juneau, Alaska. That is quite the commute.
Wow.
Wow.
He is a software developer. He goes in about 3 or 4 times a year. And says hello and do all that office stuff. Well, I decided this time to take my oldest daughter with me since it had been about 4 years since she'd been to town. She's an avid reader, and after he read each one of the books, he set them aside and let her read them. Why do you care? I like that question. Why do you care? Well, as she was reading them, I realized this 11-year-old girl had just been born about the time he started listening to Technorama.
Oh.
We're raising the next generation. He said it made him feel old. It makes us feel old, too. I thought I'd pass the feeling along. Thank you. And hopefully, mission accomplished. Well, I know, Craig, your son has grown up quite a bit. Yes. Yeah.
And if you go back and hear him at all in this and on the show,
he barely had consonants mastered.
Like yeah. Yeah. It's totally different now. Actually,
wow.
And now he's taller than I am. So.
Dad, can I borrow the car?
Yeah. Not till you're 15. 16, wait.
We would love to hear from you. You can get a hold of us on Facebook Messenger, or you can go to the Facebook page. Technorama Podcast is where you can find us. If you're watching this live on Facebook, thank you very much. We do have a few listeners. Hey. We'll give you a shout out in a little bit. Yes.
Well, hold on a minute. See, both of your girls are college graduates now.
Yes, they are. They started when, I think Julie was 10, 11 when we started the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Lisa will be home in a few days from college to visit us out here in Phoenix, Arizona. Looking forward to that very much.
And Julie couldn't be bothered with you guys?
No, she's got her graduate studies and whatnot to take care of. So you can also reach us on the listener line at 707-530-2428. I think I finally have the new number committed to memory. There it is. I got to do the Brent Choco thing. Ding! Yeah. Point at the banner or whatever it says.
Yeah, say point down.
Right. Just point somewhere. Just point down. Yeah. That doesn't sound good any way you take it.
Is he trying to give us a message?
We want to hear from you. This is the end of the year. We have a question for you at the end of the show. We will give that to you. But first, let us rush right into the history stuff before it becomes too historic.
Yeah, right.
We don't want our history getting old. God. I want fresh history.
On this day in history for December 21st, 2016, this is the 355th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 10 days remaining in 2016. It was on this date in 1620 that we forgot to roll for initiative.
I was just about to say.
Darn it. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Pause the band.
Oh.
Give Mike a D20. I'm going to roll my D20. I was on a roll.
I got a 15.
Craig?
That's pretty good.
17.
I got a 16.
I go first.
All right. You get the date in 1620. Nice. Look at that. Right to the edge of the table, Mike slides it.
Rewind the band.
I'm a die master.
Here we go. All right. Are we ready now?
On this day in history, I always get the title.
Okay, go for it.
494 shows later.
Yeah, right.
This is the 355th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. We already said that, so Craig have the first dot.
It was on this date in 1620 that Plymouth...
I like Plymouth.
We're off to a rocket start here.
Yeah. William Bradford and the Mayflower William Bradford and the Mayflower Pilgrims land on what is now known as Plymouth Rock in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Really weird how they put Plymouth Rock in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Kind of like Lou Gehrig getting Lou Gehrig's disease. What are the odds?
It's just astronomical.
I think I'm second. Arthur Wayne's Word Cross, the first crossword puzzle, is published in the New York World, on this date in 1913.
Also today in 1936, first flight of the Junkers Ju-88 multi-role combat aircraft, the Tank Killer.
I was so hoping Craig would say Junkers.
Yeah, right. It was on this date in 1937 that Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, the first full-length animated feature, premieres at the Carthy Circle Theater.
It was also 48 years ago today that the Apollo 8 is launched from the Kennedy Space Center, placing its crew into a lunar trajectory for the first visit to another celestial body by humans.
Very cool.
Humans.
Happy birthdays go out today to Scottish chemist and academic Thomas Graham, born this date in 1805. Sorry, I couldn't see through the side of my glasses.
He's got the wrong glasses on again.
I do. They're bifocals, and the line is right in the middle of the words.
Hey, Chuck, just look around. I'm sure he's still got a pair at your house.
Probably.
Born December 21st, 1868, American chemist and engineer George W. Fuller.
Okay, Craig, what's the quiz? What did George W. Fuller, what's he known for?
He's a chemist. He's an American chemist.
And
what did he do?
LSD? I don't know.
LSD.
LDS.
LDS. The dyslexic LSD.
Water sanitation.
He's chlorination.
He's the man who came up with the way to really clean up water and make it drinkable again.
Or fill it full of chlorine.
Estonian mathematician and scholar Jan Saarv, born on this date in 1877.
Adel Goldstein, the American computer programmer, was born 96 years ago today.
And also turning 81 today is American talk show host and producer Phil Donahue.
81. Wow, Phil's 81?
Nice to know he's still around.
Where's my walker?
Where's his
walker?
Yeah,
I know, right?
That's you.
No. Did Craig just do Donahue?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention. I got to work the board.
I don't pay attention to this show.
I was going to make a small snippet that says, that's okay, we don't listen either.
Right.
American actress, producer, and activist Jane Fonda was born on this date in 1937.
Frank Zappa, yes, the American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and producer was born 76 years ago today.
And American actor and producer Samuel L. Jackson, mofos, 68 today.
I don't know what you were thinking.
Snakes on a plane.
Say today one more time.
Listener birthday calendar includes James Ballard, a.k.a. Carrick Sindrew, born on the 21st. 22nd has three birthdays. Bo Pace, Craig, Luke Smith, a.k.a. Chuck Stalker, is 16 today.
Really? Wow.
Another Let's Feel Old moment.
Wow.
I feel old today.
He's driving a car. Jason Poloni from Tampa, Florida, rounds out the 22nd. On the 23rd, we have Richard Green, our good friend down in Georgia, from formerly from Geek Out with Mainframe. Mad yes. Boom is on the 24th. We have a Christmas birthday. Joel Parks, a.k.a. Agrajagama.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
The 29th, we're still not sure if this is a real person or not, but we're going with this. C-Man.
C-Man. Okay.
He's an able seaman. Get it?
He is an able seaman.
First right. name is Abel.
Yes.
And on New Year's
Eve,
hand. Two birthdays. Shadowbird's mom. That's Jeremy. We need a promo from his podcast.
He's hot.
And another Jeremy, Mr. Sim, a.k.a. Jeremy from Winnipeg. That rounds out our birthdays. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. Get your name out there, and we will give you a proper shout-out at the appropriate time of year. We took care of the rest of the year this time because we're taking our Christmas break after this show. We will see you at the beginning of the next year. We'll remind you at the end. So anything cool happening while we listen to the rest of the music? Oh, it's
ending.
My cousin Loriana says hi and Merry Christmas with lots of emoticons. Tim Elliott is there. We'll give a proper shout out to the chat room in just a moment. But we have, I think this is the end. Here we go. March them out.
Hey, this is the last time you'll hear him this year.
That's right. Last time you have to listen to this year.
Like you're at work.
I think we need to. I think we need to remix it with techno funk or something for next year.
Yeah.
Bam.
Hey, Chuck, how many times have you walked out of the office at the end of the year and I quit till next year?
It's the last time I'm coming back this year. I tell that to. Yeah. I tell that to people all the time at the restaurant. She said, "How is your food?" I said, "I'm never coming here again today."
Nice.
Another smart ass.
All right. News, news, news. We need a news thing. Here we go.
Aren't you going to say good news, everyone? Oh, I just said that for Fry's benefit.
We have Bose launching a new set of headphones they call Hearphones.
Now, this is kind of a follow-up.
I need this.
Listen, this is exactly what I was trying. Wait a minute. How can you need it? You're the one that was chiding me for bringing it up.
What?
Okay, I said I wanted some headphones that would almost give you augmented reality with the augmented audible.
That's not what this is.
Yes, it is.
It's not whispering in your ear.
No, yes, it is. No, listen.
Saying, you are a good person.
You're not helping.
You want emotional reinforcement headphones? Is that it?
No, I want to be able to.
Don't kill
either,
the puppies.
Don't kill the puppies.
You know, every time you do this, killed. Now listen,
the fact that you would need something to remind you of that is disturbing in itself.
I call them angel headphones, not the devil headphones. These are the angel headphones.
Don't do the LSD.
Let the butterfly go.
So listen, I wanted to have a pair of headphones. I could either make them isolate, you know, where I can hear only what I'm listening to, or open them up where I can hear not only a podcast or something, but I can hear ambient noise around me.
You just want to be the $6 million
Craig, did you read this article?
I did. Read it. You read it.
Called Hearphones, the wireless earbuds combine active noise cancellation and directional microphones to let wearers hear far more clearly in noisy environments.
It's a shotgun mic for your phone is what it is.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. For your, yeah. But you put them in the earbuds. The thing I've got that may be confusing is the social stigma with people who have something in their ear. Now, if it looks like you're wearing earbuds, they're going to not engage with you. But the idea here is to engage with them better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I suffer from this all the time. I'm in a noisy environment. We're at a restaurant or dinner or something, and you've got people talking all over the place, and somebody across the table from you is trying to hold a conversation, and I can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
It gets washed out. I mean, that's a natural fact that a lot of people get when they get older is their
so basically you're talking it's sound isolation as well as basically long distance hearing.
I'd be curious to see what Bose is charging for these, because there is something similar on the market and a mutual friend of ours has them, but they're very discreet. They go in your ear and you can barely even see them. But he said something like $2,000 or $3,000 a piece for those things.
Damn. No.
Yeah.
No.
But see, well, here's what I was impressed with, or some of the features I was looking at was, you know, you can turn off the world volume, or you can turn it back on with the app. So you can like scroll and say, I want to hear more of the world. I want to hear less.
Yeah.
And shape that sound. So if you were at a concert and maybe it was a little too loud for you, you could, you know, back it off a little bit. If you're too old, it's too loud, you know, you back it off a little bit.
Tune in, turn on, and drop out, man. Yeah, I got. Yeah, that's right. I'm there.
your wife's arguing with you. You just turn down the world volume. But anyway, this is the kind of thing I was talking about. Sometimes when I've got headphones in, and somebody comes up behind me, it startles me. I don't care how hard I try not to be startled. I go, oh, you know, whoever it was scares me. I would like to be able to hear. Like, my door open or something while I'm listening to.
They come up with coconuts. Just give everybody coconuts.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I can't get to work today. I lost my coconuts.
I'm sorry.
Lost your coconuts.
That just has metaphor written all over it, and I'm not sure where it goes.
He's working for the man. He lost his coconuts long ago.
I can't go to work. I lost my coconuts. That needs to be on a t-shirt somewhere.
It is. That's where I got it from.
Another day late and a dollar short.
Anyway, this is what I was talking about wanting, but I'm sure it costs like an arm and a leg.
Well, here's the thing is that this device right here has changed our lives so damn much already.
Yep.
I mean, who owns a camera anymore?
His phone.
Why on earth would you own a separate camera anymore? Yeah, I can do better photos with my phone than I can with my old camera that I have. Video. I can take better video with this than I can with my $1,000 video camera that's sitting
amazing?
On a shelf.
Yeah.
This phone will do everything now. And it's terrifying to me that we are so reliant on this little square box.
And they keep getting better.
And they keep getting better. And they keep getting more and more dependent on it and addicted to it. And it's like, wow, there's a point where, I don't know, do we strip the technology off and walk away and decompress from it? Because it's getting crazy.
Well, even crazier is we expect it to keep getting better.
Yeah.
And it has impacted our social awareness around us. Yes, Craig.
No, what's disappointing is when you get something that's amazing like the iPhones. I got the 7 Plus, and you go, wow, this is great. it doesn't quite do something, and you're disappointed because it doesn't do that one thing.
Right, right. Oh, well, you know, this was a really great phone, but, you know, if it just had this, it would be really awesome.
When's it going to have FM radio?
And then it comes out with that next year, and it's like, okay, yeah. Well, in order to give you that, we had to take the headphone jack off. What? Oh, my God. That's the most incredibly horrible thing I've ever heard in my life. I can't believe it. Let's boycott Apple. It's like, really? You're going to freak out because this phone no longer has a headphone jack? Wow. Are we screwed up as a society?
I know. It's an amazing piece of advice. And like you said, it doesn't do one thing. You're like, oh, I don't know if I want that or not.
Okay. I think I'm the old guy in the room, but I mean, think about back in the day, my God, how you had to call somebody, you had to find a phone booth. You had to borrow somebody's phone.
You had to look up their phone number or call the operator.
I couldn't afford to pay my phone bill, and I was isolated for 5 months because I couldn't afford to have a phone at home. I was out in the middle of nowhere with no communication whatsoever, except when I got in my vehicle and drove somewhere.
Hey, Mike, how many times did you hear paging Michael Minigay? You have a long distance phone call.
Right? Do you accept the charges?
Do you accept the charge? Paying for long distance. Remember when you had to pay for long distance?
Not that long ago. Yeah. Or how many minutes you got on your cell plan.
Or minutes on your cell. Well, that's cell phone. That was massive technology then. You wanted to look something up, you went to a library. You had to find an encyclopedia. You had to go. I mean, it's crazy how far the technology has moved
in just
30, 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it is insane how much.
I think it's going to accelerate.
Oh, if it accelerates anymore, we're just going to upload to the cloud and we're going to hit basically a singularity.
I was just about to use that exact same word. It's coming.
I mean,
it's
coming. Who is it that, what's his name?
Hey, Michio Kaku?
No, it's Kurzweil.
Oh yeah,
Kurzweil has been calling for singularity to happen within our lifetimes. I don't think he's wrong.
Well, speaking of the cloud, you're actually really close, because for me to switch phones, all right, I'm just saying on a lower level, for me to switch phones is no big deal, because everything I have, my contacts, my photos, everything, it is in the cloud already.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you take that little bit more of a leap where you start thinking about some of the thoughts that you have, you post them on Facebook, you know, or maybe not intimate thoughts, but
right,
you know, lot of them. And so, you know, it's starting to get to that point where it is all in the cloud.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you move to the next, remember that horrible, horrible Bruce Willis movie? It was called Surrogates, where everybody was basically jacked in, and they all had avatars, robotic avatars that were out basically living life for them. They were stuck in a sim bed and basically running their avatars out in the world.
Oh, it sounds like Ready Player One.
Have you ever seen that movie? It's actually
like The Matrix.
It was a great movie. it kind of lost its way in the middle, but the premise of it was really kind of spot on. That we have gotten so detached from the world that it's easier to look at it virtually or look at it through a computer than it is to actually do it physically face to face. And I kind of liked the idea behind it. It just wasn't executed really well.
John Miller Jr. writes on the Facebook stream. He says, Superman is also disappointed with the whole phone booth thing.
The world's gone to hell. We have no more phone booths for Superman to change in. Coincidence? I think not.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is why you join us live on Facebook.
That's right.
Thank you very much. We should have you in the studio sometimes. You're funnier than we are most of the time.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Let's go on to our other news story. We have NASA is helping Stephen Hawking get a tiny ship to Alpha Centauri. Right. NASA is helping Stephen Hawking and Russian venture capitalist Yuri Milner with the monumental task of getting a tiny probe to Alpha Centauri, the nearest star system to Earth. Yes?
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh. Project Starshot aims to propel a lightweight silicon star chip to 1/5 the speed of light by hitting it with lasers from Earth, getting it to the star within 20 years. The space agency will help solve one of the thorniest problems, the intense radiation of interstellar travel. To accelerate it, a chip with lasers to 134 million miles an hour, 1,000 times faster than any regular spacecraft could ever go.
Well, not ever, but right now.
It has to be feather light. Yeah. This means that radiation shielding is out of the question, as it would add too much additional weight. NASA believes another option, changing the chip's route to Alpha Centauri to avoid radiation, would add time without significantly decreasing the radiation problem.
Mm.
NASA and researchers from the Korean Institute of Science and Technology, KIST, that sounds like a radio station, but we won't go there.
Yeah.
From Korea. Think that that's the best option might be self-healing transistors. Okay, now this is starting to sound more Cylon-ish.
That's it. We send these out. We create the Cylons. They come back and kill us all.
Yeah.
And we can shoot them, but they self-heal.
That's right.
Remember me? I'm V'ger.
I'm curious to follow more on this interesting project.
I am too. There's some interesting technology at play here. I'm not sure whether or not it's going to be successful or not. I don't think it really matters. I think the developing the technology to produce something like this is more important than actually succeeding at it. Does that make sense? The journey is going to give us more than actually accomplishing
just
it.
Just like the technology during the 60s to get people into space led to more advanced technologies that we use today.
Exactly. I mean, the space program basically launched everything that we know now as a technological society. So,
I mean, really, what could you do with the chip once it gets there?
Well, yeah, it's so small. I mean,
it's going to go by so fast.
Exactly.
I hope you got a fast motion camera because you're going to be passing by Alpha Centauri and any planets that are around.
It can't be outputting enough to actually get back here through all the interstellar radiation and interference and everything. I mean, trying to punch a hole through that to get a signal back to us. Yeah,
good point.
I'm not sure.
And it's going to be a really weak signal by the time it gets out there.
Exactly. Well,
if it's that tiny. I mean, obviously, it doesn't have much power on its own because we got to push it. So,
exactly. Well, and the boost is only going to come from here. I mean, it's just all we're going to do is basically hurl it out there. We'll get it up to speed as much as possible,
and then it's on its own.
Yep. It's done.
It has no way to propel or decel.
Right.
Well, maybe we'll end up with a blurry cell phone picture. Come back at the planet.
Pretty much. The selfie with an alien. Somebody's smiling and waving. Hi. Yeah. Hello from Alpha Centauri. We made it.
Nanu, nanu.
It's a little blurry and off the frame.
Yeah. Looking down on their nose. Yeah.
It's 480 pixels, you know.
But as I was trying to mention before, I got rudely interrupted by the internet. I was excited about this kind of concept when I was reading Michio Kaku's book. You know, he was mentioning sending out small satellites, that doesn't require much power. They can do a quick slingshot or something like that and get much further out. And we could, why don't we blanket the frickin' solar system with these things?
Money. Cost.
Look at the satellites that we send.
But they all have a purpose, and they're monetarily supported because they're earning a paycheck up there. I mean, we're not just hurling stuff into space just to hurl it into space. They have a purpose and they have a bottom line. So, I mean, unless it's making this money, it's not coming back. It's not being propelled. I mean, that's why the whole asteroid mining thing is actually getting a push right now, because they realize that, hey, there's like about $4 trillion sitting in this one stupid rock that's up there. If we could just get that back here, we'd all be multi-billionaires 100 times over.
Asteroid mining, Craig. Come on, keep up.
So there you go. You know, it's all about the bottom line at this moment. I mean, we're not doing a lot of stuff for pure science reasons.
I mean, some of the, like Cassini, Okay, what money was it going to make?
Well, and that's it. We still have the pure science projects that are sitting in NASA, but those are being defunded more and more every single year, and it's harder and harder to get the funds to actually put that out there to do the pure science work. So
right.
And unless we can start supporting putting in money, public's money, in order to do the pure science work that NASA's doing, I mean, it's going to get really, it's just mm-hmm. really tough. I'm really right. trying to stay off the political topics here. I'm doing a pretty good job,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, you're sticking with the science. Well,
I'm staying away.
but there's no denying that every administration carries with the different priorities.
And it's going to change. It's going to be interesting. Let's
yep.
just
it's
say.
Going to be interesting.
Maybe we should get NASA on Kickstarter.
Sure.
or name a football stadium after him.
That would be, actually, that would probably be better. We need a NASA pro football team, and then maybe they actually have some money to do some real science.
Call yeah. them the well, NASA meteors or something.
what was that?
NASA somebody rockets.
Was that somebody was floating around where we could, if we all donated like a nickel or a penny to NASA, what they could do with that money?
They could put big, I think John Miller Jr.'s got an idea. He said the message for space is sponsored by Pepsi. Or they could just put, like NASCAR, just put stickers yeah. all over the rockets. Yeah,
the only problem with that, and this has been floated a lot, and we've had this discussion several times on our other show, but that other show from way back, you remember. And the problem with that is that if you get sponsorship, if you start funding it that way, then there's a inherent need for results for the bottom line.
That's true.
And that pushes you into areas very quickly of, if you're not getting returns from us, then we're for us,
drop your sponsorship.
Then we're going to drop your sponsorship. So you'd better start getting results. And that push could cross a line very quickly, very easily, where all of a sudden you're making up the science or you're fudging the numbers for the science in order to keep your sponsorships.
Good point.
I mean, that gets
what about
dangerous.
As a philanthropic endeavor?
Well, I mean, that's I Elon mean, and SpaceX. Let's yeah. see what let's see what this commercial space program
that's a good
really
point.
Does, because I think if anything has the greatest potential of success, it is what SpaceX is doing right now, because he's got the right idea. He understands that the money has to be there or nothing happens. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he has a goal that is far above just a bottom line and making money. He has a vision of where we need to be as a species, and that's what makes him different. That's what makes SpaceX different. Than anybody
you're just,
I've seen out
you
there.
You just love Elon.
I do. I have the t-shirts. I camp out in front of his house just to see if I can see him every now and then.
I saw him driving a Tesla. It was awesome.
It was pretty
it
awesome.
Had Solar City cells on the roof.
Then the police came. There was mace. It was ugly. But, that was my weekend, and I'm okay with that.
Okay.
We have another space story coming up. We're going to go from the factual and interesting science stuff into the ridiculous after this break. So stick around with us. We'll be back. I always forget how much I rely on the internet when I can really just click buttons. Let's try
yeah,
this
or talk
again.
To me.
There we go. Obviously my iPad hasn't reconnected to the internet, but we will be right back. Stick with us. We have more silly stories to come.
IT, have you tried powering it on or powering it off? Okay, is it plugged in? All right, I'll be up.
Phil, this is a pub. This isn't an IT or a
home center. Oh, sorry. I was doing something from the IT crowd because I thought this was a nerd podcast we were doing a drop-in for.
Oh, you know, this isn't Technorama.
Wait a minute.
This is the Brit Yankee.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Technorama. That's that geeky thing with Craig Stepp and what's his name?
Chuck Tomasi.
Jack Tomasi. Is it Tomato? No, it's Tomasi.
Tomasi, yeah, yeah.
Now,
yeah,
wait
yeah.
a minute. Hasn't he gone out to Arizona?
He's moved to where the retired people go. Oh, he must be retired.
Is he retired?
I didn't know he was that old.
Well, there you go. So
he
that's
looks
why...
so good for his age. Oh, I mean, think... 82 really? Is not that old.
Oh, I know. And what's that in binary?
101?
No.
I'll forget it.
Yeah, whatever.
You know what?
Okay, I'll tell you what. How about a happy Christmas to all the Technorama viewers? Now, wait a minute. Are they viewers or are they listeners?
A little of both.
Oh, really? They swing both ways.
They do.
Oh,
those boys are on top
of it.
Well,
it's a happy Christmas from the Brit and Yankee podcast from me.
And a happy Christmas and a new year from him.
Oh, good man. Cheers. Whoa, what a clang, baby! Oh-ho!
Hey, this is Kate Vernon, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
I wasn't sure if that was the newer one or the older one that they gave us for the holidays. Fortunately, I grabbed the right one.
Oh, yeah.
It did mention Arizona in there.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing, and I went, oh, okay, Arizona, gotcha.
Yeah. They must have done that one a couple of years ago when we first moved out here. Thank you very much to, it's actually Mike Lingefelter has not been on the show in quite some time. It's Mark. Mark is the new colorful character on the show. Been listening to it off and on, and still a fun pubcast. They go to various pubs around the Chicago area and beer festivals, mm-hmm. and probably not too many of those in deep, dark December in Chicago. But very easy to keep your beer cold. You just stick it in the snowbank.
Yeah, just stick it outside.
Open the window. Hats and strange stories. This is the part where the show usually goes off the rails. And our first story in the Hacks and Strange Stories is about the British scientist who launched a meat pie into space.
Because of course you would.
That's right.
Right.
They were at a World Pie Eating Championship in Wigan, Greater Manchester, England. We are aware scientists have been experimenting with plants in the International Space Station to see if the molecular structure changes. So they were experimenting with pies to see if the structure changed. And you know what? They went up so high where the sky is black. They were in outer space and there's no wind sound on the microphone anymore. It is very, very high. Had to have been... I'd say 100,000 feet or higher, and this meat pie still looks exactly the same as it did on ground. I was expecting it to deflate or inflate from the lack of pressure, but nope, it just
stayed the same.
Yeah, and the video cuts right as it's going to hit the ground, because obviously you get up that high with a weather balloon, it's going to explode.
That's the part I wanted to see.
I know, I wanted to see it take a tumble on the ground, too, and then see if somebody comes along and salvages it.
Well, if it was that high, it's probably frozen by that time.
But it thawed out on the way down.
Oh, maybe. Okay, maybe.
Re-entry, baby.
It can't be any worse than any other steak
There's
and kidney pie I've had, I guess.
No great detail about where it came down. It was on land, so if the prevailing westerlies carried it from Manchester, it could have been in Germany for all
sure,
we know.
Sure, who knows?
We don't know where it came
We're
down.
We're dropping pies on the EU. What the hell?
Did you just say they Brexited their meat pie?
It's a meat pie Brexit. And isn't that a fitting analogy to what's happening?
Let's see who's rejoined our chat room since we fell out, since we had an internet Brexit a little while ago. Oh, my cousin Loriana is back. We have Tim Elliott, John Miller Jr. We have not seen Ranger Craig return. He was on the first half of the show. We also had some other people on there that I apologize I don't have at my disposal. So thank you very much. If you want to join us, we are on Facebook Live Sunday at 9:30 Eastern time, whatever that is in your time zone. We would love to see you, hear you. Just subscribe to our Facebook page. And what you can do to help us, I forgot to mention this at the beginning of the show earlier, share the page, share this post, and get other people aware of it, that it's out there. You have nerd friends. We have nerd friends. We're all proud to have nerd friends. And
The friends together.
Right. Get them in.
Because this is about togetherness.
It is the season of togetherness. And
it is.
I have a special treat for you at the end of the show. it's more of an I'll apologize now for what you'll hear later.
It's what? Not that
Wait
bad.
A minute. What's going on?
The new song.
Oh, right.
Before we get to that.
Oh, right.
Before we get to that. Yeah. We have Remember when you were in college and you thought books were expensive?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I remember my 3 semesters of calculus. The book was, what was that, about $100 for that book? The big, thick one? $55? Okay. That was an expensive book at the time, and you went back to the bookstore and got maybe 12.
Add inflation.
Add inflation. And our daughters are buying books that are $150, $200, $250 now for medical and chemistry books.
$175 for a full
Not
set of books.
Not even close to what this math book got for a fetching a price.
Well, that's because...
Okay, let me read on. Science texts aren't normally top earners at auctions, but Christie's just proved that there are major exceptions to this rule. The auction house has sold a first edition of Isaac Newton's 1687 masterpiece, Principia Mathematica, for just over a cool $3.7 million.
First edition,
the most expensive science book sold to date. It was originally estimated to sell for no more than $1.5 million, but somebody really, really wanted this thing. Its rarity likely helped drive the price up. This is so rare.
You think?
Continental Europe edition. Only 80 copies published versus the 400 for Britain. Oh, there were British versions and European versions. Didn't know there were 2 different editions.
Hey, why didn't they just download the PDF? Much cheaper.
It's not the rarest. Yeah, can you get it on Amazon?
You know, it's really tough because you have to have the Gregorian monks come over and actually inscribe it to you. It's really, really tough to download a book from 16.
Donois Requiem.
To call Principia Mathematica important would be the understatement of the century or
the
several
least.
Centuries. It's the book where Newton states out his laws of motion, including gravity. Many of the concepts outlined in the title would be cornerstones of physics for centuries, including today, and wouldn't be significantly questioned until the 20th century through relativity or quantum physics. They formed the basis of industrial breakthroughs and help explain and refine key astronomy concepts that we now take for granted. The elliptical orbits of planets, tidal effects, and even the not-quite-spherical shape of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, what's the scientific name for that shape of the Earth? I had them all through the science stuff.
You did.
Circle?
An oblate spheroid.
Oblate spheroid. Thank you. Jeez.
It's,
I knew it. I just couldn't get it.
It's like sitting on a basketball.
Early Alzheimer's coming in. It's just thing that happens.
And it was a pop quiz. That wasn't fair either. See, if you're not careful, you might just learn something on Technorama.
Mm.
All right. There's another thing that reaches back into the Remember When, the futuristic police lineup of 1931. Michael, you said you're the old man of the audience, so you can...
Yeah, I remember that one.
Here, let me make the font a little larger for you, too.
Thank you. In 1930, audio tech nerds were tinkering with everything. The most futuristic model homes of the day were wired for sound in every room, and I worked on many of them.
Now they're Bluetooth.
Yeah, well, that was some terrifying stuff. Anyway, home audio recording was being introduced, and the LP was invented to use as audiobooks for the blind. Yes, way back in the 30s, believe it or not. And even things were considered mundane today, they got the radio treatment in order to make them high tech. One of those things was the police lineup seen above wired for sound in 1931. That's a picture. Yeah. Do we have the picture?
We do have the picture.
Cool. From July 31st issue of Radiocraft magazine, the sound installation demonstrated at police headquarters, New York City, for the famous lineup. Conversations between the Inspector Wright and the suspect posed before the lights would be recorded. Mr. Salbia and E.M. Sheep. Shep? Sheep?
Bah.
Shep? ship, whatever center are operating a portable recording apparatus in that. Well, basically, it's a tape recorder and a couple microphones is what's going on. Police lineups are notorious and inaccurate for finding perpetrators, largely because eyewitness testimony itself is so unreliable.
No, really?
Really? Can you believe it? This is stuff we need to know. But the police lineup is wedged deep in the American psyche as a crime-fighting tool.
Yeah, see it on TV.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you see it in every television show. That, you know, they get a bunch of guys,
but
line them up and go.
They don't necessarily record it.
No.
And say, where were you on the night of the 19th?
I don't see any recording happening there. It's just pointing out, and you have right. live witnesses.
It was number three.
Okay. So anyway,
this obviously didn't catch on very well.
It obviously didn't catch on very well. I wonder if it was because it started getting disputed, because audio tapes could be faked and recorded and edited. And because you could edit anything into a recording.
No, wait. This still does have vestiges today.
Well, interviews being recording.
They call it a presidential debate.
You what? Went there. Wow. Here, I've been trying to be good all night long, and you went there. Okay.
Boom!
Mic drop.
Absolutely. No, I mean, really, videotape has replaced all of this. I mean, we're still recording. We just videotape everything. We're not doing audio recordings of stuff. So, anyway, it's lineup, the police lineup.
The police lineup being radioed?
Radioed,
and recorded.
Whatever.
Okay, let's go on to our next one. We are going chronologically here from Newton to 1930s to the 1990s when digital cameras used floppy disks.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Do you remember the Sony Mavica?
I owned
Mavica?
One. I had one that had a 3.5 disc. That
you had
was
a,
there.
Was it a Sony Mavica?
It was something like that. It was a knockoff of
several
it.
Several of
but
them
I
did.
But I remember that. I remember putting a 3.5 disc in this stupid camera, and it took the crappiest pictures you could ever imagine.
Yes. It was 1997, and digital cameras were just coming out of the market, and about 3% of the market was digital because people didn't know how they were going to print their pictures.
Exactly.
What a different mindset at the time. Native support didn't exist yet on the Mac or PC. USB ports weren't standard. The USB standard was ratified in 1996, but it wasn't implemented in many PCs until 98.
It was actually Walgreens. Walgreens was the first one that would take a digital picture, or take the digital pictures off the 3.5 discs and print them into hard copies.
Yep. And later they would take other memory storage devices like mini SD, but that wouldn't come along for another 6 years.
That's a long time later. Yep.
I think they have the record of printing pictures of cats.
Yeah, probably.
One of my friends where I used to work had a Sony Mavica, and I remember he brought it in. You could get about 20 pictures. But then
That is what I had. That's exactly the camera that I had.
Yeah, one of my coworkers also had one, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. But then, of course,
I didn't realize it was a Sony.
Yeah. Now, we also had a Kodak at work, but it almost looked like a set of binoculars from Star Wars. It was oval, had a really crummy optical viewfinder. I don't think there was even an LCD on this thing. It took probably 640 by 480 at the best. And you had to use a serial port. And the problem with serial ports is, yes, they were ubiquitous at the time, but you had to use proprietary software. Serial ports were notorious for driver issues.
Yeah. Well, because that was the old USB ones. That's why. I mean, they were horrible.
No, even before USB, the DB9 serial ports.
Oh, the DB9 serial ports. Oh, my God.
If you didn't have your DB9 to DB32 serial port adapter.
Yeah.
Exactly. And many other adapters.
And you didn't have it nulled. You didn't have pin 1 and 1 and what
two,
is
two
it? 1
and 3.
And 2 and 3 right. nulled. Yeah.
We're getting into the retroactive stuff here now.
Hey, you know, it's funny. If you look at the picture that's in this article, it has that old compact at the top.
Yes.
And, nowadays, today, we have touch screens, and look, they have the precursor of the touch screen. They got a trackball on the screen.
Oh, right. It is. The trackball's up on the left.
That's hilarious.
That was before touchpads and track points. And
well, remember when the trackball was supposed to replace the mouse?
Yes.
And they had that huge push to get the, you know, get the trackball because the trackball works so much better. Yeah, it got full of just as much oil and dirt and grease and everything else in it and stopped working just as bad as the mice did. So
And by the way, this animated GIF that they're showing, it looks like he's pulling 1,000 floppy disks out of the
right. Here comes another one and another one.
It's got redundant floppy drives.
It's making floppy disks. It's a floppy disk printer.
It's like pulling the scarves out of the Magic Hat.
Right.
Yeah, and then a short time after that, they came out with the CD camera.
Oh, some of these did. They took the mini CDs. Oh, they took like
the little mini CDs. Yeah. Those
had a Kodak one.
Horrible. Yeah. Oh my God. Because if you so much as slightly bump the thing, it would miswrite. And then you basically ruined what was it? It was a $3 freaking disc, I think they were. They were like $3 a piece, and you ruined it. It was done.
Yep.
You could never use it again.
Yeah. Those things were, I mean, again, it was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And after about a week of using it, you're like, us garbage.
This is the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
Let's give a shout out to our patrons. Thank you very much to our patrons who donate. You make music, this show music. Possible. I got the music.
Oh, I hear it now.
Didn't you hear it? This is our special Patreon music. I'm going to put these people to music now. I'll try. No, let's save that for later. Kyle Nishioka, Chris MC, Mike Wills, Alexis Duran, Steve Therian, Ben Vaughn, Saturday Morning Media, Dennis Patnod, Leon Avner Braverman, Amy Bowen, Nick St. Gabriel, who wrote in earlier. Thank you very much. And John Noble. Did I get them all? I got them all.
You got them all.
There's still room on our chart of accounts.
Sure.
Our ledger for you to join us if you want to get in on this action. They get special content, and this year we sent them out a whole bunch of books for Christmas.
Yay.
You can contact us at patreon.com/technoramapodcast or send us an email. We'd be happy to direct you in that direction. For as little as $1 a show, you get all that goodness and a shout out and our undying love. Thank you very much to you guys.
Hey, truth is, you can have the love anyway.
Well, all the listeners and viewers get our love.
Sure.
They get undying love.
Oh, I see.
The other stuff dies, has to be replaced like every 30,000 miles.
It's an upgrade.
I got to stop this. My iPad didn't want to talk to the other machine because of that internet connection. Now I got to do the things manually between two different browser windows. This is so painful.
Oh, no.
We have a Christmas song for you. This is... Oh, wait. We got to wait for the ad to go by. Oh, wait. I already had that window open. Never mind. 3, 2, 1.
You don't have YouTube Red?
There we go. Here. We wish you a Merry Christmas in reverse. It was recorded backwards. And to prove it's backwards, there's a cat.
It's fun to smoke marijuana. It's fun to smoke marijuana. Yeah.
He sounds kind of European when he sings this way.
Yeah. Really, you got to watch the video. Listening to it does not do it justice.
Because the same guy's playing guitar.
Right. Well, and the cat in the background.
The cat in the background is
just makes it, it makes the whole video.
Authentic.
Yeah.
Unless he taught his cat to walk backwards.
That would be a awesome trick.
Jump up on the table, back legs first.
But yeah, it is. It's definitely worth a look.
So he opens his notebook, presses a button that says reverse button, and then he hears the song played backwards.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
Wow.
And a Happy New Year.
We are.
We are. Yeah.
It's not perfect, which makes.
No.
Yeah. But still, damn good.
I'll bring the simply food. I'll bring the simply food. I'll bring the simply food. And the
this is the kind of silly music we like.
Well, it takes some. That takes some doing.
That takes some talent. Yeah. Unlike our attempt, which you'll hear in a bit.
Wish you a Merry Christmas. Be. Wish you a Merry Christmas. Be. Wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hey.
Yay!
Hey, by the way, have you ever read the lyrics to that song? Those people sound like they're ingrates. You know, they come to your house and demand.
Go until we get some. Yeah, I mean, there are some really creepy Christmas songs out there when you think about it. When you hear "Baby, It's Cold Outside," that sounds creepy. The guy's like, "Hey, baby, why don't you stay? It's cold out. I got to get going." "No, really, your lips to look delicious." "No, I got to get going." Like, that's all she says is, "I got to get going.
I really need to go." It depends on the tone that you take with it. I mean, if you can make that stalkery as hell and basically captive.
It is.
And you know that's what he did. He sang it
forward,
played it backwards, and then basically
We are streaming once again. Sorry about that. Yeah, apparently, Facebook just decided we were done. Said you're not funny. Go away.
Everybody's so, a
like
critic.
They know us.
This is our last dying attempt. We have one more thing for you, and I'm going to apologize right now. I'm not a professional singer. It will be obvious by this.
And I don't apologize.
Special thanks to my wife for giving me editing tips and, vocal tips, too.
Remember on Facebook, on podcasting, yes. The first rule is don't apologize for anything you do.
Well, that's right. I'm just setting expectations here.
No, okay. it's
I was inspired this week. I woke up Tuesday morning at 4:30 in the morning in Santa Clara and had to catch an airplane. And on the way to the airport, I was inspired because I had my favorite things from The Sound of Music in my head. And I said, this song really needs some updating because I'm not all about copper kettles and... you know, rose
whiskers color. On kittens,
right? And
I do like whiskers on
so
kittens. I'm still good with whiskers on
I
kittens.
I modernized it and I call this my nerdiest things. So here is my edition of Rodgers and Hammerstein's My Favorite Things.
My friends on Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter, photos on Instagram, cross-post to Flickr, new shows on Netflix released in the spring. These are a few of my nerdiest things. Amazon parcels that show without warning, mainlining new shows till 6 in the morning, particle theories based upon strings. These are a few of my nerdiest things. RPG figures with hand-painted faces, leveled up PCs with +30 maces, finding my answers with Google and Bing. These are a few of my nerdiest things. When the app dies, when there's dislikes, when I feel colon left paren, I simply remember my favorites list, and then I don't feel... so minus 10. Deadpool in HD and pictures of kittens, smart superheroes and villains well written, uncut editions of Lord of the Rings. These are a few of my nerdiest things. Neil deGrasse Tyson and tall furry Wookiees, USS Enterprise gingerbread cookies, white drones that fly with the moon on their wings. These are a few of my nerdiest things. Bow ties and fez hats and TARDIS companions, Samuel L. Jackson and Scarlett Johansson, podcasts about cosmic rays and things. These are a few of my nerdiest things. When there's no bars, when I get dissed, when I feel colon left paren, I simply remember my favorites list, and then I don't feel so minus 10. When there's no bars, when I get dissed, when I feel colon left paren, I simply remember my favorites list, and then I don't feel so minus 10.
There you are. Merry Christmas.
Wow.
It is awesome.
Here's your lump of coal.
It is pretty awesome.
I do have one more thing that came in at the end. Craig, I asked Siri what I should get Donna for Christmas, And I took a picture of this because obviously I couldn't record it audio when it came
see,
in real
can't
time.
Can't see your picture.
No, that's all right. I will tell you. I said,
okay.
What should I get Donna for Christmas? What should I get my wife for Christmas this year? And it said, how about something green and wavy? Ooh, an oscilloscope. They're so cool.
Why did she get the oscilloscope? I was good.
Okay. Then the next question was, what should I get Craig for Christmas? It said, sunchokes and beans are great for you, just not before getting on an elevator.
What does an elevator have to do with it? This is not food. This is food restricted from elevator use.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Merry Christmas, Craig. Yeah.
Thanks.
Because everybody needs sunchokes.
And most of the answers that came back were just like, they didn't make any sense. Like I said, what should I get Mike for Christmas? Says, every mother was right. You should eat more vegetables. This is more like a fortune cookie than a Christmas present.
I'm going back to Android.
Ask Siri, what should you get your wife for Christmas or your husband for Christmas? And see what it says. We want to know.
Wait a minute. Here you go.
Okay.
Hey, Siri, what should I get Chuck for Christmas? It said, make good choices, Craig. Make good choices.
Make good choices.
Make good choices.
Wow.
Hey, Siri, what should I get Michael for Christmas?
Throwing it right back in your court, isn't it?
Broccoli.
If you ask me, I say broccoli.
Broccoli. I always like a lovely bunch of broccoli. There is nothing better, but
seeing a vegetable theme here from Siri.
I think they're underwritten by the producers of America or something. We are at the end of the show. We have a question for you this week. As we round out the year of 2016, we want to know, what are your predictions for 2017? It could be science, it could be movies, it could be you name it. We want to know, what do you think is going to happen in 2017? And no playing the Deadpool card on us. We don't
And if you're related to Nostradamus, be sure to call in.
No, they would have known we
tips.
Already told them to call in.
Now, if your name is Nostradamus, call us in with stock tips.
Right. And as I mentioned earlier, we are taking a few weeks off for the holidays, so we will be talking to you again next year. We've got family, we got friends, we got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And we've got our first attendance, our first guests in our Airbnb guest house that will be showing up December 31st.
Hey, we need to get them on the show.
Just walk over randomly. Hey, where are you from? Yeah. Tell me about yourself.
Hey. Yeah. Hey, by the way.
You listen to Technorama. Hey. You know you are at the Binary Studio.
All of a sudden you start getting like one star on a Airbnb.
Well, I think there's a good chance that your listeners will start coming over if they think they have a chance of getting on the show. There you go.
Discount rate for listeners, I guess.
There you
we
go.
We can do that.
As long as you're on Patreon, the show and you actually talk.
You're a patron.
You don't have to be a patron. I mean, that'd be a special kind of patron.
Yeah,
that would be cool, though.
That would be cool. We can offer that. We appreciate your support, whether you are a patron or just joining us for the third time tonight. Graciously appreciate that. Where's that big black button at the end that I hit to make the music go? There.
Hey, by the way.
Actually, it has a hotkey. Yes.
I'm gonna reshare the 12 days of tech Christmas we did 10 years ago.
I was looking for that and I could not find it.
This is before we had our own YouTube channel, and I uploaded it. It's on mine. So I'm going to post it.
Okay. I thought we had an MP3 somewhere and I just could not find that for tonight. I was in the festive mood and that one. Oh, you know what I forgot to play? I forgot to play this right after we sang that song.
That was so terrible. I think you gave me cancer.
That's right. So if you didn't like my song, that's okay. It already gave Calculon cancer. Call us on the listener line, 707-530-CHAT. We'd love to hear from you. Day or night, any time of year, that number will get us an email, and we will play it on the show. Or email us if you like, technorama@chuckchat.com. There's the information. Ding! Right at the bottom of the screen.
Yay.
Give me a binary high five, Craig.
101. Merry Christmas, everybody.